Well, good morning, ladies. And welcome to the Wife's Contribution. I just want to applaud you for being here today. That means that you are contributing as a wife. You are contributing to your husband. Now I have a question for you. What is your contribution? If you would think about it, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being poor, 2 very weak, 3 weak, 4 below average, 5 average, 6 above average, 7 good, 8 very good, 9 excellent, and 10 outstanding. How would you rate your contribution as a wife to your husband? Can you see the... Oh. There's a handout up here if you'd like one. So what is your contribution? I would like for you to go ahead and find a spot on your paper, somewhere where you can list some of the ways that you are contributing to your husband. So how are you contributing to your husband? There's an empty back side. You can use that side. List a couple ways that you are contributing to your husband. We are at school, you know. I'm getting some looks up here. We are at school, you know. Yes. Oh, yes, there are a couple up here. Sorry. Thank you. Does anyone else need a pen? We have one left. I do believe the Lord provides. Well, you can continue the list longer at home, but what I want you to do now is turn to the person beside you and tell them at least one way you contribute into your husband's life. It could be 2 or 6, but start with at least 1. You are contributing a lot of ways. That's wonderful. Does anyone want to pop out a contribution that you said or that you heard?
He's a bed.
Wonderful. Very important. Thank you. Anyone else?
Pray for him.
Pray for him, yes. Much more powerful than we will ever know.
Showing interest in his work.
Mm-hmm. Listening, showing interest in?
In his work.
In his work, yes. Good, we could write a list a mile high, I do believe. That's wonderful. Keep on contributing into your husband's life. Now I have one more assignment for you. On the little piece of paper that I gave you, we ran out at the end, so not quite all of you got them. I would like for you to write a question that you came to this class with. I'm thinking a school-related question. It could be something about your role as a minister's wife, as a school board chairman or member's wife. It could be any school-related question that you have. Go ahead and jot that down on the piece of paper, and when you're done, pass them into the center, and I'll collect them in this bowl. If you're really, really drawing a blank, that's okay. If you do have a question, go ahead and pass it in. We will try to have some time at the end to maybe look at some of these questions, or maybe you will have other questions throughout the talk. So go ahead and pass your papers into the center if you have a question written on them, please. Okay, thank you for doing that. Now I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. Ever since I was in first grade, I wanted to be a teacher. That was what I wanted to do. So I went through school, graduated, and started, guess what, teaching. I taught for 5 years, and then I went to Faith Builders and did the teacher apprenticeship program, where I met my Prince Charming, who is the principal of our school. And some people thought, oh, aren't you so sad that you have to give up teaching, because I loved teaching. And I said, no, I'm not sad. I'm getting married to a principal. I think I will have job security for the rest of my life. Then after Jeremy and I started dating, I came back home. I came from Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and taught for 1 more year. And after that, we got married, and I moved to Lancaster, which is where we live currently. I taught a variety of things those first couple years. It was usually several days a week. I taught different classes. And along came children. First of all, Shayna. Oh, whoops. It would help if I would push the right. Whoops. And this is our family now. So along came Shayna. She's our oldest. She's going to be 10 in a couple days. And I still taught some classes after having Shayna. I remember going to school in the afternoon to teach high school girls phys ed and putting Shayna to sleep in the little office closet where my husband spent his time. Actually, I think he put her to sleep many of those times. And then we had Cedric, and he is 7. And I still taught some classes. And after Cedric, we had Nicholas, who was a stillborn son. And then I quit teaching. Maybe I went in for high school girls' devotions. I'm not sure. But for a period of time, I didn't do any teaching. And then God blesses with twins, Nadia and Nicole. And so I didn't teach when I had twins. I completely quit then. But in the last couple years, they just turned 3. I have actually the last year or two. I have started again. I have high school girls' devotions every other Tuesday and high school girls' phys ed every Tuesday afternoon. And let's just be honest, do I feel like going in on those Tuesday mornings and Tuesday afternoons? No. No, I do not. At least not most days. The longer I'm a mom, the more I enjoy just staying at home a fair amount of the time. So you might ask, well, why do I do it? If I don't want to do it, why do I do it? Well, the truth is I often get to school and I'm so glad I'm there. It's just a lot of fun and, sorry about my emotions. One of the biggest reasons I do it is because my husband wants me there. He wants me to do it, and he says all the high school teachers are males. He said, these girls need a female teacher. So that's why I go. So back to you. How can you contribute? I would like to suggest several ways that you can practically support your husband. First of all, make him number one. End of story. You've heard that song, Jesus first, yourself last, and husbands in between. Sometimes it's easiest to grease the squeaky wheel. The children, or the texts that just came in, or the messy house screaming for your attention. But after your children leave, it will only be you and your husband. And recently at the supper table, Cedric, my son, asked a question, and then Jeremy asked a question. And after my mouth was empty, I answered Cedric's question and somehow forgot about Jeremy's question. Well, that was not okay. And I thought, oh dear, I really should have answered Jeremy's question first. Even though Cedric's came first, my husband is more important than Cedric. And so I'm still learning and working on these things with you. Make him your best friend. Yes, your very best friend. And then get really practical. Ask your husband what part of the household chores are the most important to him. Does he want to come home to a clean house, to supper on the table, to happy children, to you looking all pretty? What does he want to come home to? What is most important to him? And if you need any more ideas on how to make him number one, I suggest you read The Flirtation Experiment. It sounds a lot better than the title. By Lisa Jacobson and Felicia Masonheimer. They have, I believe it's 30 chapters of ways that you can boost your marriage and things that you can do for your husband. So if you need any more ideas, check out The Flirtation Experiment and learn 30 new ways that you can make your husband number one. Secondly, I suggest that you speak positively of your husband. Did you ever think about how you have the power to affect how other people think of your husband? Whether positively or negatively, we as wives influence what other people think about our husbands by the words we say about them, or maybe the words we don't say about them. You have the power to influence what other people think of your husband. Never critique your husband in public or in front of your children. Ouch. And I thought of two examples of the power of words. This is not necessarily me influencing what other people think of my husband. Well, in some ways it is. So first of all, Jeremy's a firefighter, a volunteer firefighter. So whenever his pager goes dee 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 dee, the twins say, Daddy, fire call, and he's out the door. And there have been times in which I have been very upset that he left. Like, why did you have to leave now? And I soon discovered that my children are catching on to this. They understand that when Dad leaves, sometimes Mom isn't very happy. And I said, okay, that has got to change. And now, whenever he leaves, I say, sometimes they will complain, and I'll say, but Daddy is going to help someone in need. He's a hero. And it affects how they think about him. I also had to think about, last year in particular, I complained about going in for phys ed. I didn't realize I did it every time, but finally Jeremy said, every Tuesday you complain about this. And I thought, oh my goodness, do I really do that? And I said, that is the end of that. I am not going to complain to my husband about going in for girls phys ed. So your examples will be different, but you can choose what you and think about your husband. You can choose to influence what other people think about your husband. I also suggest that you communicate frequently. I have yet to meet a man who is a complete mind reader. Let me know if you've found one. And so I think it helps if you communicate with him. Find the time that works for you. For Jeremy and I, it's often at night when we put the children to bed, and we'll put them to bed in really good time so that we have some time to ourselves to talk. I remember my mom and dad, my dad would come home from work and they would go back into the bedroom or their bathroom and close the door and talk. Some couples do it while they're washing dishes after supper. Some couples do it while they're going on a walk. You find what works for you, but communicate frequently. Tell your husband what you want, what you're thinking and feeling. I heard a lady say recently, she said, oh, I think my husband must get so tired of me telling him what I want and how I feel and going off about it. And I realized there is a wrong way that you can do it. But I said, I think you're actually giving a gift to your husband by telling him what it is that you're thinking and feeling. You know how men are, they just say it how it is, and they don't really get offended or turned off like we ladies do. They just say it how it is. And I think they want that from our women, from their women as well. They want to hear what we're thinking and feeling. And if you don't communicate with him, he's not most likely not going to know what's going on in your mind. I would also like to suggest that you speak into his life. If you don't speak into his life, who is going to? Think of the verse in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. My husband isn't perfect. I'm not perfect. But together we can sharpen each other. Together we can speak into each other's lives. I speak into my husband's life, and I want him to speak into my life because he sees things that I don't see. I see things about him that he doesn't see. I talked with a lady in a troubled marriage who said that as a young wife, looking back now, she realizes that as a young wife, she actually enabled her husband in his weaknesses. Rather than speaking into his life, she thought it was her job to simply submit to him. And she's looking back on that now and wishing that she would have known that it was okay to speak into his life and to help him to see himself. Remember, iron sharpens iron? It's like holding up a mirror. You know the saying, behind every great man is a great woman. And just recently I read, who is behind an unsuccessful man? Behind every great man is a great woman. Who is behind an unsuccessful man? We want to be that great woman behind our great men, but what about those unsuccessful men? So how can you go about talking to your husband? There are three things I would like to suggest. First of all, bring yourself. Yes, you. Bring you, not your girlfriend or your mom or your sister or what they think or have to say about the matter. Bring yourself. And I'm going to refer to a book called Letters to My Daughters, The Art of Being a Wife by Barbara Rainey. She says, each of you has strengths your husband doesn't have. He needs what you bring to the relationship. But the key is how you use your strengths to help. Bring yourself. Attitude is everything. I'm trying to teach this to my 10-year-old daughter right now. There's a way you say things, and there is a way you don't say things. Attitude is everything. Again, from Barbara Rainey. Again, the heart of the matter was and still is my attitude. He will know if you are for him or if you are against him and how you approach him. And it has to be real, dear daughters, not an act. So if you want to speak into your husband's life, bring yourself. Attitude is everything. And finally, ask questions. Barbara Rainey tells the story of how her husband went to talk somewhere and something she said just really bothered him, said or did. And so on the way home, she says to him, "Do you mind if I mention something I think you could correct?" What husband wouldn't want to hear what follows after that? Here's some other questions you can ask. "Can you tell me more? Help me to understand the time you got angry at the children. Or I would like to talk to you about something." Sometimes you need to ask, when is a good time? Or what do you mean? Let's say you have sat down and asked him some questions and then he's said his piece, and then you can say, "What do you mean when you say? Or are you saying, this is why I got angry at the children?" It's helpful, really helpful, for husbands to be listened to. Someone mentioned listening to your husband. That's wonderful. Keep on doing that. The fact that you are here most likely means that the man in your life is involved with people in some way or another. And I think we all know that people equals problems at some point or another. And those problems are sometimes blamed on your husband. They're sometimes all his fault. Sometimes he was the cause of them. Sometimes he has to be the solution. And he just needs someone to listen to him. Husbands also want to be validated and understood. They want to know that what they're feeling is not way off the wall, that it's okay. And sometimes you actually have to put into words what you think they are thinking. And it's helpful for them to hear what you're saying, "Yes, that's what I feel," or say, "No, it's not that, but it's this." And they've been able to process it because you're helping them. They want to be validated and understood. Thirdly, how can you contribute to your husband? Actually, fourth, I guess. I suggest that you be flexible. How flexible are you? If I would ask you to stand up and touch your toes right now, could you do it? I won't ask you to. There are too many people in here. I'm not actually thinking of physical flexibility, although sometimes that's a good thing too. I'm actually thinking flexing in your schedule. We as moms are often try to have a routine. If you're like me, you're very scheduled. I like to do this and this and this. And if I get interrupted, oh my goodness, I won't get it done. When will I get it done? This is my time to do that. And I do not do well with flexing. But I've learned over the years to flex in some ways or another. I still don't flex at my nap times. Don't ask me about that. But I think when your husband calls up and say, "Hey, can you come in this afternoon to sit in with another couple?" You say, "Yes, I will." And you call up whoever you need to babysit, or you take your children along and take crayons and colors and whatever you need. Be flexible. If your husband wants you to run with him to town, go. My mom was very exemplary with any time my dad went somewhere, maybe not just to town, but if he would go on a business trip, she would go with him. She still does, and they have so much fun together. Build that relationship. Be flexible. Now, the question begs to be asked, can you be too flexible? While we are speaking about flexibility, I believe there are times you can be too flexible. On the top left, it says there's a celery stalk and a pretzel. The celery says, "I wish I could be as flexible as you." And the pretzel says, "Well, I wish I was as tall as you." To which the celery responds, "I'm going to at least try." The pretzel says, "Go for it." So the celery says, "Ring," and breaks. And the pretzel says, "Well, at least I got my wish." We all know celery is not meant to be as flexible as pretzels are. So I don't think you need to flex at every whim and wish of your husband. Sometimes it's okay to say, well, honey, I have bread rising in the oven. What am I supposed to do? Could you wait for half an hour until I bake my bread? But I think it would still be better to tell your husband, I would like to go with you, but I have bread in the oven, rather than saying, no, I just don't want to go with you at all. Think about ways that you can flex in your schedule. So be flexible. Be confidential. Does your husband shake in his boots every time, or his dress shoes, every time he hears that you're going to be with your girlfriends? Does he wonder what in the world you're going to tell them this time? I certainly hope not. I determined early in my marriage that I would tell my husband what I was thinking or feeling about him before I told anyone else. My mom, my sisters, my friends. And there were many times when I wanted to open my mouth. But I said, no, that is not what I've determined to do, and I will first tell my husband. It really helped our relationship. It built a lot of trust between us, because my husband knew that if I was going to go somewhere, I would talk to him first. Or obviously no one's perfect, so sometimes something does come out of my mouth that I wasn't planning to have come out, but then I will go home and tell him. And sometimes I know that he will not have want me to say that, and so I'll say, you know, honey, I said this. I'm sorry, I don't think you would have wanted me to say that, but I did. And sometimes he says, oh, that's okay, and my mouth nearly drops. And other times he really doesn't want me to say, and then I purpose to try very hard not to say that another time. But be confidential. Your husband and your relationship will thank you for it. So, how can you actively support your husband? Presence matters. And this is something we teach our teachers. If you're having a problem student, just go stand right beside them. It makes a big difference. Presence matters. And I would like to suggest that for you as well with your husbands. If he's a school teacher, go visit him. If he's a farmer, go out in the barn. Like, if you don't have to milk. If he's a farmer, maybe you can ride in the tractor. If he's a businessman, show up with coffee for him. Presence matters, and you think of the ways that you can be present in your husband's life. Maybe first you need to ask yourself this question: does my husband want or need help? Husbands are different. Some of them do want help, and some of them don't. I happen to be married to a man who would love to have me at school as much as I can possibly be there. But we know that. That's something we've communicated. I would like to hear some different occupations from you. What are some occupations that your husbands are involved in?
Deli manager,
thank you. Do you show up or work?
I was just thinking one of us punching bag did was for his 50th birthday, donate some coffee there for all the staff.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Someone else? Yes.
My husband works in the office. He's a business owner. He does metal wool farming and has a storytelling business, but he works in the office.
Okay. So are you allowed to show up at the office?
I am, and I'm very blessed to live right beside the business. I can sometimes leave my children inside. Oldest is 8 or 7. I like to run out and just take the mail out.
Yes, very good. Great. Thank you. Someone else? It's okay if you mention an occupation that you can't be very involved in.
Dairy farms,
yes. And do you help milk?
Yeah.
Yes. Good. Let's take one more.
My husband's an electrician. I pretty much stay out of it. I don't want to shop.
He doesn't have you over there pulling wires. That's okay. You can find other ways to support him. Yes, good. Thank you. So presence matters. Do we have till 55? Where's my paper? Here it is. Let's see how long we're at. 50. So I want you to think about, maybe later, go home and think about this. How can you support your husband in his occupation? Maybe it's simply a text. Maybe it's showing up with coffee. Maybe it's staying away so you don't get shocked. But think about how you can support your husband in his occupation. I would like to share with you some things that I do. Obviously, your life is different than mine. Different people have different seasons. So maybe you chose number 5 on the 1 to 10 chart at the beginning. But maybe after all your children are gone, it will be a 9. Or maybe it will go down to a 2. You know, seasons are different. And what I do is not what you have to do. But here are some suggestions of things that I do. Prayer, as someone mentioned. One time I thought, you know, if I'm not praying for my husband, then who is praying for him? And who do I want praying for my husband? Yes, as a school leader, I do want people praying for my husband, but there's also an element of prayer that I want to come only from me. I take meals in, so almost every time there's a staff meeting and it's over mealtime, he'll say, honey, can you bring lunch in? And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but it's fun to make lunch. I enjoy making food, so that helps. It's fun to make lunch and go in. My children and I all eat with the staff, and it's a time for us to all be together. As I mentioned, I teach girls phys ed and girls devotions. We also visit school about every other Wednesday. We have hot lunch, so we often go in for that. I get to eat lunch with my husband. You can't do that at every occupation. And then I often stay and help with the dishes. I do his bulletin boards usually. Sometimes he'll call me in the middle of the day. He'll say, this problem happened, what shall I do? And I love problem solving. I'm a teacher at heart, so for me this is the fun part, so I get to do that. But I think the important question for you is, am I supporting him, and does he know it? So how can I support my husband? Am I supporting him? And maybe most importantly, does he know that I'm supporting him? Your support will look different than mine. Be creative. Think of ways that you can think outside the box to be involved with him. Now I'd like to tell you some reasons that I choose to be involved in my husband's life. First of all, I brought along a little plaque. Sorry, you can't see it very well in the back. It says, the gift we can offer others is so simple a thing as hope. And my husband actually reminded me of this. I have it hanging on my fridge. Last night we were talking about my talk and I was asking him some questions, getting permission for some of the things I was going to say about him. And we were talking about a card that he gave me recently in which he thanked me for understanding him. So I puzzled a little over this. What does he mean by thank you for understanding me? So I asked him, this was not last night, this was before, what do you mean when you wrote thank you for understanding me? And he didn't really actually have any words to put to it. I kind of knew intuitively what he meant. I just wanted to hear him say it. But last night when I was asking him if I may tell you that he wrote in my card, thank you for understanding me, he said, yes, do you remember the plaque I gave you? And this is what he gave me when we were dating. The gift we can offer others is so simple a thing as hope. And I don't think I actually realized how much hope I gave him simply by dating him and beginning to speak into his life at that point. I would like to read to you again from Letters to My Daughters. What does Barbara Rainey says, I'll read it to you just soon, but back to the reason I choose to be involved in my husband's life. It empowers him to do his work well. When I'm involved in my husband's life, it actually empowers him to do his work well. Barbara Rainey says, over the years of our marriage, Dennis has said repeatedly that one of the best gifts I've given him is my belief in him. It has always surprised me that it is that important to him, because I've seen him as competent and strong. But the truth is, he, like all men, has an underlying need to be bolstered by the loyal, confident belief of the most important person in his life, me. And remember, he married you because he felt bolstered by your love, by your belief that he was the coolest, the most handsome, the most sensitive, the most fill-in-the-blank of any other man. He felt he could conquer the world with you at his side. Keep giving him that belief, and God will reward. I choose to be involved in my husband's life because it empowers him. It gives us a point of connection. Rather than simply running parallel lives, he teaches school, I'm a mom. When we're working together, it gives us a common goal to work toward and be a part of. It makes our marriage stronger. And the most amazing thing, I think, is that he in turn supports me. I'm a woman of many interests. I enjoy doing a lot of different things, and Mom has said many times over the years, your husband does amazing in supporting you in all the things you enjoy doing. It comes around. I support him, he supports me. What comes around, goes around. In order to be a contributing wife, you need to take care of yourself, which is why I have the category myself. First of all, we talked about how you can support your husband. Now we're going to talk about how you can support yourself. Sometimes I say this to myself, if I don't take care of myself, I won't be able to take care of anyone else. It's just that simple. If you don't eat, I guess you would eventually die and not be able to take care of your husband or your children. So you need to take care of yourself. First of all, I suggest that you rejuvenate yourself. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of rejuvenation? How do you feel like you need to be rejuvenated right now? It might be okay just to indulge in a little bit of that in the next week or month or year, or maybe even give a hint to your husband, or just come out and tell him how you would like to be rejuvenated. I find it very challenging to know how to balance being a wife and a mother and all the other things with balancing the things that I enjoy doing. And I think there's a balance. I think it's okay to go out and take a walk all by yourself, or to have a side hustle, or to want to go shopping, or to just spend time at your sewing machine sewing for a change. Every mom needs to give herself space. Give yourself some space, yes, every day, to be rejuvenated. For me, that's my nap. My husband says I'm religiously tied to my nap, and I do believe that I am. But for me, it's my rejuvenation time during the day. I say if I can get my sleep, I can work so much better. Doesn't it just make sense? And I don't think you need to feel guilty about sitting down to read 10 minutes each day, or taking a nap, or drinking that third coffee, or whatever it is that you need. But balance is key. Obviously, you shouldn't be sitting down all day long to read a book. But 10 minutes, everyone needs that every once in a while. I also suggest that you accept help graciously. If food shows up at your door, don't turn it away. I feel humbled every day when the bishop's wife drives in the lane with my school children. Yes, she brings my school children home almost every day. And sometimes I think this is ridiculous. I should be helping her out. And then I think, no, just accept it, Diana. She's willing to do this. She lives a mile down the road. Just accept it. Lastly, I want to suggest that you accept yourself. Cut the comparisons. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." It's so easy to compare yourself with everyone else around you. What about that school board's wife who's always dropping off cookies? Or, you know, the mom who has new dresses on her girls every couple weeks? You fill in the blanks. You can compare yourself all the time. Remember our celery and pretzel? The pretzel never was meant to be the celery. The celery never was meant to be the pretzel. Let me let you in on a little secret. If God would have wanted you to be your friend, he would have created you to be your friend. But he didn't. He created you to be you. He created you with specific giftings for the purpose that he has for you in his kingdom. Have you thought about the fact that God gave you specific giftings for the benefit of the brotherhood? Isn't it sad if you're not using them? So what giftings do you have? Well, let me ask you this. What is your superpower as a wife? You all have a superpower as a wife. God has blessed you with something, some special gifting that he wants you to use. We all have two ears. We've talked about listening before. You can listen. That's something you can do. One day, a teacher came to my husband at the last minute and asked him about a schedule change. So guess what my husband did? He called me, which still amuses me, that this teacher came to him asking what he should say, and he called, and my husband called me. But what he really needed was someone just to call and talk to him. My husband processes out loud, so he just needs someone to process with, and I was happy to do that. And if you don't know what your superpower is, just go ahead and ask your husband. I had fun asking my husband last night. You can go home and ask your husband. And while we're on the comparison thing, would you really want someone's whole life? Maybe you want their house, or their car, or their children, or their money. But do you want the pain that they have? Do you want the clicks that they experience? Do you want the debt that they have? Would you really want to trade lives with someone? My sister and I have decided we would not want to do that. We'll each take our joys and our sorrows, and we'd rather have our own than someone else's. Finally, sisters. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, think about such things. At the end of the day, your husband and your children need you. At the end of the day, your husband and your children need you. Which is why we're talking about your contribution. Not Sally's contribution, your contribution. And in closing, I have another question for you. How many of you have heard of Albert Einstein? Ah, yes, I thought you would have heard of him. How many of you have heard of Maliva Morick? Guess what, ladies? She was Albert Einstein's wife. Some tellers of the Maliva story say that she was a brilliant mathematician who surpassed her husband, and that she made uncredited contributions to his most celebrated papers, including his paper on special relativity. And they have uncovered 43 of Albert Einstein's letters, as well as 10 of Maliva's letters. And it seems proof. Here are some excerpts from the letters. "How happy and proud I will be," says Albert Einstein, "when the two of us together will have brought our work on relative motion to a victorious conclusion." Maliva's brother described how they would sit down in the evenings and work on physics problems. They started out as students together and eventually got married. And Maliva said to her cousin, "Before our departure, we finished our important scientific work, which will make my husband known around the world." Albert also says, "I need my wife. She solves for me all my mathematical problems." So it seems like their union was based on love and mutual respect, which allowed them together to produce such uncommon work. She was the first person to recognize his talent. Without her, he would never have succeeded. Remember, behind every good man is a good woman. She abandoned her own aspirations, happy to work with him and contribute to his success, feeling they were one unique entity. Ladies, your contribution matters. And we're out of time. I'm sorry, we have no time for questions. Thank you for listening. You're dismissed.